possibly his successor, because the courts sometimes take their own sweet time. Whoever that individual is going to have to face this issue, because I believe the Supreme Court is going to order the province of Ontario to provide full funding to all faith-based schools.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Fasten your seat belts. We expect turbulence in the next hour. Jim Chapman, I think, has nailed it. I'm not saying vote for Jim Chapman. I'm just saying it would be very sad if this whole issue of faith-based school funding would entirely dominate this election campaign. That would be very sad. There are so many other big issues that need to be settled, but this is the one that keeps percolating to the top. Nobody seems to be able to nail it. Nobody seems to be able to crystallize the issue. I think Jim Chapman just has. And that is this whole threat, which we've heard about for years, that the Supreme Court is going to decide this one for us. If this is true, it changes the whole context of this debate. I think Dalton McGuinty, before this day is out, has to respond to Jim Chapman. I have a lot of questions, like why John Tory hasn't made this argument. At least I haven't heard him make it. Jim Chapman just has. I think Dalton McGuinty, before this day is out, has to address it. And if reporters covering Dalton McGuinty are doing their job, they're going to nail him with this question. What about this guy, Jim Chapman, down in London? And what about the threat of a Supreme Court decision in which they will spell out all the rules and will have very little to say? 643-1290. If you have some feelings on this subject, we invite you to call us now and join in our conversation. I just had to bring Jim Chapman on because I think this issue is so crucial, not so much to the election overall. I think the election overall should be decided on other issues. But since this issue of full funding for faith-based schools seems to keep grabbing the headlines, as it did at this all-candidates meeting yesterday, we have to address this issue. Jim Chapman is saying something that demands an answer from lawyers, from all of us. Is this, in fact, a case? Because if it is, it changes the entire complexion of the debate. Jim, appreciate you joining us this morning.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Andy.
Well, listen to your conversation with Steve Garrison. I'm more convinced than ever that Dalton McGuinty absolutely has to respond to what you're saying. Let me face you, though, with this question first. Why hasn't John Tory been saying what you're saying, or has he?
Well, I can't speak for John. Andy, obviously he's the leader of the party I'm running for, but I can't and won't speak for him. I will, other than to say this, for John, this is an issue of fairness, and it's an issue of leadership. It's something he's believed in and talked about for years, long before he came back into the legislature. He worked for many years, of course, with Bill Davis. He was chief of staff to Bill Davis, who was known at one time as the education premier before somebody else came along and scooped the title, without much justification, by the way. We'll let him remain nameless. But this is something that has been very important to John Tory for many years, and he felt going into this election was an opportunity for him to stand up and be counted. Now, some people have said, Andy, that it was a cheap shot at votes, but you and I both know there's not many votes in this issue, positive votes. There may be some negatives. He stood up, he took, a very strong leadership position because he believes it's an issue of fairness. I believe it's an issue of fairness, too, but I think there's this whole subtext there that we can't ignore.
Not only do I totally believe your argument about it not being a grab for votes, in fact, Jim, I want to ask you this. Do the surveys not show, and every indication is from the track record, that he took an enormous risk to take this stand and probably face surveys which suggest that if this issue became a key one in the election, it could well lose the election for him?
I think I've seen some surveys that suggest this. I question where they come from. I've seen other surveys that suggest that the actual swing vote, and this is what we have to remember, there's a lot of people, apparently, although I haven't seen very many of them in my writing, I will tell you, as I said to Steve this morning, we've done between 6,000 and 7,000 door knocks, and we've had six people raise this issue in London Fanshawe. I know it's a bigger issue in other writings, but in our writing thus far, it hasn't been a particularly big issue.
Well, I find those numbers rather astounding. I'm going to believe you on that one. I don't think, Jim, that that indicates that this is not an issue for 99% of the voters.
No, but the point I was going to make, Andy, is I don't think it's a make-or-break issue for that many. The polling that I've seen where they say to people, will this change your vote, this one issue, given everything else that you know about the Liberals, the PCs, and the NDP, will this one issue keep you from voting for the PCs if you're planning to vote for them? And the percentage is minuscule. And in fact, the number is almost exactly the same as the number when the question is phrased a little differently and put to Liberals and NDPers. Would this keep you away? The fact that your party is opposing this, the numbers are almost identical, which is why I think the whole thing is blown way, way out of proportion relative to what the people on the street are concerned about. Now, let me say, the six people that we talked to were all very strong about this, absolutely adamant about it. Five of them opposed, one of them thought it was a great idea, but all very strong in their conviction. But is this an issue at the end of the day when people look at the Liberal record, when they look at John Tory's character and what he's promised to do, when they look at Howard Hampton and the NDP and so on, when people look at all of those things, my question is how many people are going to cast their vote on this one issue and say, I don't care about anything else, none of the rest of it matters, this is the only issue for me? The polls suggest that's a very small number, and my experience suggests the same thing.
Well, it'd be a disaster if people felt that way. Here's another wrinkle I want to throw into this, Jim. I have talked to a number of people in the faith-based school community, and we may work on the assumption that they're all going to vote for John Tory on this issue. What I'm hearing them say is, you know what? We shell out $9,000, $10,000, $11,000 a year to send our kids to a school where we want to have the freedom to teach them what we want to teach them. And what we worry about most is if the government should fund these schools, we would lose that control. So some of these parents are thinking of not voting for John Tory for the very reason that most people think they are going to vote for.
Oh, I don't doubt that for a moment, Andy. But the question I would ask of those parents is, within your faith-based school, what part of history, geography, science, math, what part of English and French and foreign languages, what part of those curricula change because of where you worship on Saturday or Sunday? I mean, to my mind, knowledge is knowledge, and the Ontario curriculum teaches internationally accepted body of knowledge that, in fact, many of those groups have indicated they have no difficulty supporting. The Jewish Congress has said, we're in for this. The Muslim Association has said, we're in for this. The Sikhs have said, they're in for it. The Hindus have said, we're in for it. And many Christian schools have said, we're in for it. So there might be a small group of people who are concerned about losing control. And I understand why they might be concerned, in theory, about losing control over any issue. But to suggest that well, we don't want to do this because, you know, because the geography is different, we teach geography differently, or, you know, the numbers add up differently in mathematics for us. I mean, it's not happening. It's not going to happen.
Jim, let me tell you what I think is so sad about politics, is that we all jump on one team and we all fight the other guy, and regardless of what people actually honestly believe, they're on a team and they have to make that argument. What would be wrong with this? And we're going to have a doctor on and an author on in the next half hour who simply says, saying this, listen, I taught creationism. I've written four books on creationism. But you know what? I taught in the public high school system, and we taught the evolution theory, which he says is not scientific, and I taught creationism. I taught both of them and taught the kids, here's what the theories are, here's who believes it. Hey, it's out there. Make up your own mind. What would be wrong with doing that both in the public system and in our alternative schools?
Well, I think if you're going to teach science, you teach science in a science classroom. If you're going to teach theology, you teach theology in a theology classroom. If you're asking me, should we have theology classrooms or theology classes available to students in Ontario, whether they're publicly or privately funded, I don't see any reason why the students should not have access, whether it's a public model or a private model, they should have access to theology. But science belongs in a science classroom, and theology belongs in a theology classroom.
Is evolution scientifically based and proven?
According to the vast majority of scientists in the world, yes.
Okay. We'll be asking the doctor that in the next half hour.
Yeah.
I want to take a short break, and then I want to invite our listeners to call in and say hello to Jim Chapman, who we haven't heard from for a while, and a lot of our listeners miss you, Jim, so there'll be an opportunity to say hello. But specifically on this question, Jim Chapman saying, hey, we better decide this, because if we don't, the Supreme Court will. I believe Dalton McGinney has to respond to that and respond to that immediately. I believe John Tory has to pick up the ball from Jim Chapman. I don't know why he hasn't, and run with it, because it's an incredibly strong argument. 643-1290, we'll take a break, and we'll be right back right here on News Talk 1290 CJBK.